You are now listening to the worship podcast of Open Table Metropolitan Community Church.
Okay, our reading from the third Sunday of Resurrection is from John chapter 21, verse 1 to 19. So Jesus revealed himself to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of Jesus' disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any fish?" They answered him, "No." Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of fish. That the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was stripped for work. He was naked, and sprang into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish lying on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus revealed to the disciples after having been raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was aggrieved because Jesus said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." This Jesus said to show by what death Peter was to glorify God. In these human words, God's word is heard. Yung story na yan sa chapter 21 is actually not part of the original Gospel of John. Idinagdag siya later on by someone who most likely would be also part of the community that John, that the writer of John was writing for. Uh, At alam natin, ito rin yung isa sa mga clues kung bakit si Gospel of John ay alam nating much later on siya sinulat. Kasi ang sinabi dito, Sea of Tiberias, which is the same Sea of Galilee, Lake of Galilee. So alam mong naiba yung pangalan, di ba? Naiba yung pangalan. So one of the clues where why the Gospel of John was written much later, about almost about 30 7 ano, kung 30 si Jesus, 50, almost 60 to 80 years after sinulat ang Gospel of John. After, I mean, 60 to 80 years after Jesus. So, si risen Christ, the risen Jesus, went to the Sea of Tiberias, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee, where he meets his closest followers. Simon called Petros, Peter, the beloved disciple, not named. Although may clue tayo kung sino si beloved disciple. Sino? Tingin niyo. Yun yung tradisyon. Pero sino sinabi ni Martha na the one whom you love? Si Lazarus. So some would speculate that the beloved disciple is actually Lazarus. So baka pwedeng, baka papalitan natin yung Gospel of John ng Gospel of Lazarus, no? Kasi meron din proclamation sa chapter 20 that this is the one who wrote this. The beloved disciple Kemer, the one who wrote this this gospel or these writings. So magkakasama si Tomas, si Pedro, si Nathanael at si beloved disciple, sino man siya. Galilee is the home province of the disciples and of Jesus. And the new home, the chosen home of Jesus was the home of Peter, the town of Peter, which is Capernaum. It is where many of them, the disciples, grew up and became fishermen, nangingisda, by the Lake of Galilee, later on known as Sea of Tiberias. Andun din yung kanilang family. No, families nila, andun ang asawa ni Peter. Hindi po natin alam, meron pong asawa si Peter kasi sa Synoptic Gospels, sinabi doon na pinagaling ni Jesus ang mother-in-law ni Peter. So may asawa si San Pedro, most likely may mga anak siya. And Jesus was in the nearby, no, sa Nazareth. Jesus grew up in the nearby town of Nazareth, near Galilee. So after years, mga disciples, mga first followers of Jesus, after years of following this strange man from Nazareth, nakita nila yung mga miraculous signs, nakarinig sila ng mga wonderful parables and teachings. Suddenly, Jesus died. Jesus died, the most horrible kind of death, no, and rejected by his own people. Pero ito nga, Easter, he rose again. Ngayon, hindi natin alam kung ano yung nakita nila, ano yung naranasan nila. Basta ang the agreement among scholars is that the first followers of Jesus experienced something extraordinary that later on they were willing to die for that which they experienced. Pero ang itong pinag-iisipan ko lately, akala natin happy ang Easter. Siyempre sa atin happy na 'yon. Kasi alam na natin yung nangyari, alam na natin yung ano. Pero nung time when they were experiencing this risen Christ, the risen Jesus, they really didn't know what this was. They were not happy. They were not. Actually, the joy of Easter only started in Pentecost. Between the rising of Jesus and Pentecost, they did not know what to do. They didn't know what was this experience that they were experiencing. So much so that even if nagpakita na, supposedly nagpakita na si Jesus sa kanila na buhay namang muli, at least in the Gospel of John, tatlong beses, actually pang-apat to eh. So merong maling counting yung nagsulat eh. Pang-apat na beses na to eh. After ilagay ni Thomas ang kanyang mga daliri sa mga butas-butas ni Jesus, they still decided to go back to Galilee and to go back to their old way of life. Their response to the experience was to go back to Galilee and to do what they used to do before they met Jesus. Siguro, ito interpretation ko na, wala naman to dun sa naisulat, no? Hindi natin kasi alam bakit nga sila bumalik doon at nangisda ulit. Perhaps, siguro naisip nila, ito speculation na to, naisip nila na, ay buhay naman na ulit si Jesus. Pinatunayan niya na siya ang Mesiyas, binuhay siya muli ng Diyos, kaya niya nang lahat gawin ang gusto niyang gawin. Hindi niya na tayo kailangan. Move on na ako. Too much na ang naranasan ko. Ganyan. Too much na ang aking naranasan. He doesn't need us. And how could He need us? We were the ones who abandoned Him when He needed us the most. He died on the cross without us. Diba? Actually nga sa Synoptic Gospel, sa Matthew, Mark, Luke, ang mababasa mo lang doon yung mga babae ang nasa malapit sa cross. Wala actually sa mga apostles. Sa Gospel of John, supposedly, the tradition is John ay nandun kasama yung si Mama Mary at si Magdalena. So how could He want us to be with Him in this new life? We were the ones who abandoned Him. We were not there when He was dying on the cross. Someone who rises from the dead surely has the power and the means to change the world by Himself. He doesn't need us. Let us just go back to our old way of life. So Jesus is alive. So what? 2,000 years ago, yan pa rin ang tanong natin. So what? What then? Since Jesus is alive, then there is nothing more I need to do. There is nothing more for me to work on and accomplish. I have followed Jesus for several years. Now I don't know what to do. So when are those moments that even after you have experienced God's amazing grace in your life, you still run away? We still run away. Even after experiencing something amazing, some of us still run away. We still try to hide from God and from the mission and the community that God has given and shown us. Despite God's faithfulness, when are those times that you tried to go back to your closets? Meron ba sa atin? Ako si Josh. Who tried to go back to the closets and to our comfort zones? But there are in the LGBT community. There are in the LGBT community who, even after coming out, catches themselves deciding to go back to the closet for whatever reason. Minsan pa nga, may times din naman na you go back to the closet because your newfound love is closeted. No? So what are those moments where, or situation or experiences when we go back to our closets, thinking that they are our comfort zones? May moments bang tayong ganon? Ang pagbabalik sa ex only because he or she is the familiar one. The safe one. The one that you already know. The one that maybe nagpatirik ng iyong mata once upon a time. Diba? Or perhaps one of the reasons ay nakakasampung jowa na ako. Wala talagang maayos. Balik na lang ako, siya naman yung pinaka maayos sa kanilang lahat. No? Going back, not realizing that maybe there is something more and something amazing waiting for you somewhere out there. When are the times that we try to run away and hide from our resurrection calling and our Easter community? To go back to our familiar ways and old familiar closets, may isa akong kausap, counseling. So umalis siya dun sa dati niyang work, sa dati niyang company. So lumipat siya ng ibang company na medyo mas maayos-ayos. Pero may challenges pa din. At ang challenge kasi, yung schedule nung bago niyang work, hindi nagmamatch sa mga gusto niyang gawin sa buhay. Although nag-tea siya doon ng konti. Pero mas okay-okay yung company na yon. Now, thinking na dahil wala na yung iniiwasan niyang tao doon sa dati niyang company, bumalik siya doon sa dating company only because yung schedule doon ay maayos. Ngayon, nag-overtime siya ng 4 hours every day. Sometimes madaling araw na uuwi. Tapos minsan, pinag-OT pa siya on one of the, on one of the rest days. So, nabigla siya na mas bumalik siya sa something that is much worse. Thinking that yung nag-iisang gusto niya na maging maayos yung schedule, ay makuha niya doon. Ending, hindi niya na nga nakuha, napaka-worse pa ng kanyang sitwasyon ngayon, going back to that former company. Sa atin, tingnan mo. Open Table Church has been resurrected again. But kanina sa discussion natin, what now? What do we do now? Para yung ano eh, parang pag nag-iisipan ko siya, yung gustong-gusto mong cellphone dati, nung mga kabataan ko noon, gustong-gusto kong makakuha ng cellphone na maganda. Nung nakuha ko na siya, parang wala ng excitement. Wala ng thrill. Andiyan na yung cellphone, di ba? So we have been resurrected. We have this beautiful space. But what now? What do we do now? Now we have a full-time pastor in the person of me with a kabuga and naka-display pa nga, kabug-kabug credentials. Perhaps I am no longer needed. I mean, not me. Perhaps I'm no longer needed in Open Table. Perhaps I will just go back to what I am used to do. I will go back to my old way of life. I will just go back to my old church or old community where it is familiar and comfortable, where the music is great, the altar is more magnificent, or probably the programming is better with a cinematic experience. I will go back where I can be anonymous again and where I am not asked to serve or to care for people. One of the, well, of course, this is an assumption. One of the assumptions I have why many LGBT people continue to attend mainstream churches, one of those is, despite the official stand of that church, is because, for example, Roman Catholic Church, sa sobrang laki niya at sobrang dami niya, anonymous naman eh. Diba? You just go there, you attend mass, and then you leave. You know, there is no accountability, there is no responsibility. I can give 3 pesos to the basket. and no one will hold me responsible or accountable for my life. I can just be anonymous. I am not asked to care for people. Jesus has risen. He has proven His power. Kaya na ni Jesus yan. Siguro yun yung sabi nila Peter, no? Hindi niya na ako kailangan. Uuwi na lang ako at mangingisdang muli. Andyan naman ang MCC. Andyan naman si Pastor. Andyan si Kuya Mike Mia. Andyan si Sean. Andyan si Jack. Andyan si Chris. Kaya na nila yan. They have always done it. Siyempre, tayong mga oldies eh. Tayong mga oldies. Kaya na nila yan. They have always done it. The pastor and the board can now stand on its own with its new beautiful space. I can just go back where I am used to without the challenges and struggles of the queerness of the Easter gospel. I will go back. I will just go back to my old ways. Lalo na napakahirap ng relationship among fellow wounded and broken queer people. Yes, this is MCC's experience as a church community. Like in the time of the first Easter, we continue to experience right now this transitional period between Easter and Pentecost na hindi natin alam ano bang gagawin natin sa mga sarili natin, even though God has proven God's self that God is not yet done with us. We are in this confusing time, which has a lot of tendency to regress to old comfortable lives, to old ways of doing, like Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and the beloved disciple. Thinking that God and those yung mga tinitignan nila as God's chosen can do everything on their behalf. Without realizing that God is calling me too. That's Christ's resurrection. That Christ's resurrection is also wanting to break open my life. That Christ's resurrection also wants to break open from my gifts, break open from my brokenness and woundedness as a wonderful queer person. But the reason Christ would not have it, ayaw ni Jesus niyan. At nung ginagawa ko ang sermon na to, naririnig ko si Chris Celeste kumakanta ng sa background na when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. So when Christ Jesus will not have it, we try to go back to our old ways, trying to catch fish yet catching nothing. Christ out of nowhere comes to us early in the morning, then commands us, draw your nets and you will catch more than you can ever imagine. Many of us in MCC, we hide, we run. But the love that conquered death seeks us out. Inahanap tayo. Love searches for us and finds us. Love meets us in all its beautiful and surprising diversity that oftentimes we do not recognize. God's love confronts us in our own versions of the Sea of Tiberias. Then love invites us. Love invites us to have breakfast. So tayo naman, dali-dali, punta kay Jesus sa Pampang, sa my beach. At makikita natin, ipinaghanda at pinagluto na tayo ni Jesus ng tinapay at ng isda. Jesus prepared breakfast for us because love knows that we are hungry. Love knows that we are cold and tired like Peter and Thomas and the rest. Yet, ini-expect natin papagalitan tayo ni Jesus. Ini-expect natin tayo ay sisermonan niya kung bakit wala tayo nung siya ay namatay. Tayo ay sisermonan niya bakit natin siya pinagkaluno, bakit natin siya dininay 3 times. Going back to our old ways, old boats and old seas, akala natin pagagalitan tayo ni Jesus. Pero walang sinasabi si Jesus. Masasabi niya, come, have breakfast. Jesus did not come that morning to accuse and condemn Peter and the rest of the followers and the beloved disciple. The reason Christ comes to them with breakfast by the sea and the reason Christ was no longer interested with whatever they have done in the past. Hindi na interested si Jesus. What matters to Jesus was the here and the now and the future. And also with this question, the only thing that Jesus was interested in. Jesus asked, anong tanong ni Jesus? Peter, do you love me? 3 times. Peter, do you love me? The reason Christ came that morning, bringing breakfast and urging them, calling them once more, feed my sheep, tend to my sheep, feed my lambs. Resurrection is about new beginnings. It is a new way of seeing things. In new light, in a new lens, to see new things in the lens of the enduring love of God. Easter is about God who, in the words of Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber, Easter is about God who tries to pull us out from our graves, from our closets, from our old ways of doing and old lives, and us kicking and screaming. But God pulls us out anyway. Pulls us out anyway. And puts us in another path. God, through the risen Christ, seeks us out. Hinahanap tayo. Love will never give up on us. It is us who gives up on love. He will find us. Jesus will find us. And when we come face to face with the love made flesh, He will ask us the hardest questions of all. The hardest question of all, do you love me? Because in as much as love tries to search for us, love also challenges us to seek out others. Love asks us if we are willing to make breakfast for those who are running away and who are also trying to hide. Love is asking us if we are willing to prepare breakfast for the hungry and those who are cold. When we have truly experienced and seen Jesus, who is the Christ, Jesus sees us in return. And no matter where you run or where you hide, Jesus will be there with fire, with some warm bread and cooked fish, and a question. Do you love me? Amen. On the night before Jesus was to suffer and die, on the night that he was gathered with Peter, with Mary, with his mother, with those that he loved, and those who believed in him. He took bread. He raised it up to the heavens. He gave thanks and praise. He blessed it after the manner of his Jewish tradition. He broke it and he gave it to them, saying in a new way, in a different way. He said, "This is my body, broken and given for you. Whenever you are gathered together and partake of this, all I ask is that you remember me." And then likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. He also raised it up to the heavens. He gave thanks and praise. He blessed it after the manner of his Jewish tradition. But in a new way, in a scandalous words to Jewish ears, he gave it to them saying, "This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, my life. All of me that will be emptied out for all of you for the forgiveness of sins. And whenever you share this among yourselves and you partake of it together, all I ask is that you remember me." And therefore, in this table of Jesus Christ, as a gathered community of faith, we ask you, loving God, to send forth your Holy Spirit to come upon these gifts of bread and wine, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the bread of life and the cup of reconciliation and healing. And likewise, loving God, by the same Spirit, may you anoint each and every person here gathered today. Grant us healing and forgiveness by the same Spirit, so that empowered by that Spirit, we may become the body of Christ, serving in this world that is hungry for hope. And we lift up to you, loving God, the Metropolitan Community Churches all throughout the world, but most especially our community here, Open Table MCC. Bring us into the joy of Pentecost. Bring us and empower us and direct us into the new ways and new life of being church and community. Likewise, we pray, loving God, for you to establish more progressive and affirming churches all throughout the world and in our country. Bless, guide, and protect all our leaders, members, and friends. Unite us always in the fullness of your love. And we lift up to you all our prayers, our sorrows and our pains, the secrets of our hearts, as well as everything that we are joyful and thankful about, especially the people that we love. All of this, God, we lift up to you in union with the prayers of Rachel Evans and all the queer saints, prophets, and martyrs of all times and of all places, calling upon the name of the same Jesus, the one who searches for us and who gives us breakfast. And we say, amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.